Well, there is a what we call the mind of Christ for every service, and as a preacher, you know, we always try our best to hear what God wants to share, and sometimes we'll joke between us between the first service and the second service. We'll say things like, "Well, I didn't even talk to Hans or to Gary, and they stole all my verses." You know, and that's because we do our best. And even like with the praise and worship, we'll hear songs picked that fit in what we're preaching. And that's like, oh, man, wow, somebody can hear God. You know, it's exciting, to know that there's a mind of God and there's a flow of the Spirit. Like Hans talked this morning, where the Holy Spirit has the right to take us any way he wants. So there'll be times where someone will be preaching and all of a sudden the message changes. And you'll find that God will make everyone sit here and be bored to death while God reaches out to someone who's broken or lost and ministers to that one person. And what does he expect out of the rest of us but to be grown up, to be mature enough to allow that to happen and not be like, I went to that service and it didn't feed me, it didn't bless me, you know, it wasn't about me, I'm going to find another church. You know, when you grow up with God, he expects you to be the one who does the work and not always be the one who receives. And when we read in Scripture, a lot of the ministry that's meant, and I'm not going to preach on that today. I'm going to try not to. But a lot of the ministry that many churches do today is focusing on feeding the church, but they're doing things that really scripturally we're supposed to do for the lost and not to do for the church. As a church, as the body of Christ, God has one goal for you. No matter what your calling is, his goal for you is to grow up in God, to mature. That's his goal. That's his plan for you. That's why when you go to God and say, I've been praying in tongues more than all those other guys out there, and yet their church is big. Ours is, you know, fighting. Why don't we have the big church? We pray more. And can I stop praying now and start? No, sit and pray. Why? Because he needs us. He needs someone to grow up. And what a job it is for him to get a whole group of people. I look across this room and I see people from many different states and even different nations here in this room, this one room alone. And I look at different cultures, different colors, different parents. And yet God's put us together as a body to grow up together to where all parts of the body are mature. You know, if you're, one part of your body is immature, then you're deformed. You're not healthy. God needs the whole body to grow up together and mature in who we are in Christ. So one of the battles I've had has been when I've been understanding this more and more, the battle of the body, soul, and spirit. And I kept hitting this understanding, say understanding. So as I talk about the body, soul, and spirit, I'm aware that it is can be disruptive to some basic teaching. And I want to be clear, I'm not against saying I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. At a distance, that's perfectly correct. But let's talk about that for a minute. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. You might hear someone say, yeah, he's just talking out of his mind, his intellect. We just need more moves of the Spirit and less intellectual teaching, would be someone might say. Someone might say, yeah, you faith people, you don't believe in thinking. You just want to blindly believe. And that's not at all what faith is built on. Faith is not built on just accepting something. Faith is built on truth that God teaches you, which overpowers the facts that may be in front of you. It's built on knowledge, but it's built on spiritual knowledge, not natural knowledge. Someone might say, oh, they're just listening to their mind and not their spirit. Can I ask you what you mean by that? Well, in my spirit, I felt peace. peace, but in my flesh I felt, or in my soul I felt fear. Well, can you describe that more? What do you mean by in your spirit? Well, deep down in my spirit. Like, what does that mean? How does your spirit have feelings? And so this is the kind of struggle I've had trying to explain the pathway of maturing. Where do you mature when you spend time with God? Where does God's information that he teaches you, when he teaches you spirit to spirit, when you pray in tongues and he teaches you truth, where does that wisdom and understanding go? So the idea of I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. We'll read here in 1 Thessalonians, is where one of the scriptures is, chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So who's going to sanctify you completely in this verse? Sorry, let me read that again. Now may the God of peace himself, maybe I need to bring up my King James here. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God of peace is going to sanctify you wholly. Isn't that great to know that you're going to be sanctified wholly? Now, if I just take that verse, I can make it say all kinds of things. You know, brother, you need to quit drinking and smoking, and you need to quit lying and cheating, and you need to quit living that way. Oh, but pastor, that's God's job to sanctify me. And when he sanctifies me and takes it away from me, when he takes away the desire to smoke and drink and do those things, then I'll quit. But it's his job, according to this verse, to sanctify me wholly. You know, you've been around church long enough to know that's not the correct interpretation of that. In fact, if we go over to chapter 4, we'll see something that says a little bit differently. Verse 3 of chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So here it tells us that the sanctification, the job of sanctification, is me having to sanctify my vessel, that I have a vessel that I'm to possess. Now let me go to my King James Version. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So now it says that you have a vessel that you have to possess, you have to rule over, you have to own. But if the job is complete by God, why do I have to possess it? Why do I have to manage it, control it, rein it in? And so here's the imagery that I'm trying to tweak. The imagery of I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, implies when you say I am a spirit, I want to know what that means. Does that mean you have a new nature, spirit? Or does that mean you have an inner man, spirit? And when you have a soul, I am a spirit and I have a soul. The idea is that I'm to take my soul, mind, will, or mind, desires, and emotions. And I'm to take it, now that I'm born again, I have a new nature, so now I'm to take my mind, emotions, and desires, and I'm to make it accept who God says it is. I'm to take the mind, my intellect, my emotions, and my desires, and make it agree and learn from God. Now, How many know that when you were born again, you became a new species? And I love that word, that you became a new species. That a child of God isn't just a cleaned up human. It's actually a different than a human. It's a new species. How different as darkness is from light. So let's pause there and talk about species for a moment. I'm a new species. Now, we have a little called a, what is Yoshi, a Peek-a-poo, Pinny-poo? They mix all these dogs together now. A Pinny-poo is a miniature pincher and a poodle mixed. And he's got more pincher than poodle. He'll fight you to the death, that one. And he's a miniature pincher and poodle. He's about 5 pounds maybe and feisty. He's the one we have to lock up if you come visit because he's just feisty. And then the Cavanaughs have another dog, Cosmos, which is a what? A golden doodle. So that's half golden something and half poodle. Golden retriever in poodle. And he's about 300 pounds. And no, that's exaggeration. So that's preaching. But he's a big dog. Like, I laugh because I watch, like, we feed our dogs a little quarter cup of dog food every morning. And the Cavanaugh's got to take a whole bag and fill it up this big bucket, just a trough for Cosmos. They're both dogs, but are they different species? They're the same species, dog. So a different species from a dog would be a cow. A different species from a dog would be a cat for sure. But a let's say an eagle is a different species from a dog. So that's different species. Now, when I was born the first time, I was born by the will of man. My parents got together and they created me. I came into existence at conception. And I'm going to live for eternity. Every child conceived is a human person that's going to exist forever. And the only way to get out of the human race is to be born into the kingdom of God as a child of God. So Jesus came, born into the human race, so he could be go to the place of death and be resurrected a new species called the children of God. And then he invited us to be born out of the human race into being born into a child of God. You can say amen if you're still with me. Amen. So before I was saved, everything I knew, everything I did, loving someone, being nice to my neighbor, because there's nice people who aren't saved. In fact, some of you know people who aren't saved, who are nicer than most Christians you know, and more generous than most Christians you know. That just because you go to church and got saved doesn't mean you were all of a sudden a saint. that there's things that didn't leave you when you got born again. So before you were saved, everything you were, every thought you had, came from the species of darkness. You were holy, completely a species of darkness. You were your mind, your body, your soul, and your nature, your spirit, was completely darkness. Even if you were generous and kind, it still comes from the species of darkness. Then you got born again. Say born again. Now, what part of you got born again? Because why, if you're completely holy, sanctified by God, would you desire fornication? Where does that desire come from if you're born again? Many of us got saved, and after a few weeks, we thought, well, I don't know if this really worked, because I still am a disaster. I'm still fighting things in my life. So if your imagery is that I got born again nature and now I'm to take my mind, emotions, and desires and bring it over to learning who God is, bringing over my emotions to having the peace of God and the love of God. That's like asking a dog to fly. That's like saying, calling a dog an eagle and letting it fly. Fly, dog, and throwing it off a cliff and wonder why it went splat. So when you're born again, you receive the new nature. But something else happened in that. The new nature was quickened. Say the word quickened. That's a King James word I like. Quickened. It means that he took something and brought it to life, made it new from something that was already there. So you didn't get a new nature. He took the old nature and made it new. He quickened it to life, from darkness to light. So now, many Christians, under the imagery of I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, are trying to take their mind and emotions of their first creation, their first birth, and making it become of their second birth. They're trying to make their intellect, their natural mind, which came from their first birth, the species of darkness, not just accept, but to understand truth from light. How many know that God can't tell you, couldn't teach you the truth of who you were before you were saved? How many know that? Why couldn't he? Why couldn't he sit down and teach the disciples? Jesus said, now I've taught you in parables, but when you're saved, after you're born again, the Holy Spirit will come and reteach you what I taught you. He'll bring to remembrance what I taught you, because then after you're born again, you'll be able to understand what I was trying to teach you before you were saved. Well, why couldn't he teach us before we were saved the truth of God? Because we are of the species of darkness. We are of a different species. That's a different language. You can paint wings on a dog and take him up to the eagle's nest and put him in the eagle's nest, and the eagle won't raise you like a child. You're exposed when they say, let's fly. So when you say, I have a soul, you're implying in that imagery that I'm taking my intellect, my understanding, and bringing my emotions and making it feel and think like God thinks. My problem with that is that's impossible, because that's two different species. What happened when you were saved wasn't just that you received a new nature. See, we read in Luke chapter 16, I won't go there, about the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. Now, these were men before Jesus had been glorified. And these men, they died. And here they are in hell. One's in hell and one's in paradise in Abraham's bosom. And they're both dead, but yet they had emotions. They had body parts. They recognized each other, and they were dead. They were in the spiritual realm, you would say. They were dead. But yet they buried their bodies on the earth. So here they are dead, their bodies on the earth, but they're alive, existing in hell. But they had feelings and emotions and thoughts. How many know when you go to heaven, you're going to have feelings of joy and peace? Well, that means that you have technically a soul, an emotion, that's part of your spiritual man. Your spiritual man has emotions. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Those are emotions. That's the fruit of your spirit. That's the fruit of your new nature. So when the love of God comes forward, where does that go to you? It goes into your spiritual man. That's where the love of Jesus grows inside of you. You also are left wearing this outward body. Let's look over in Ephesians here. Verse 24 of Ephesians 4. That you put on the new man. The new man's talking about your inward body. Your inward body, let me just give a quick cover of past teaching. That your inward body was connected to your outward body. It's the outward body is like a glove of flesh on your inward body. We understand that. But the inward soul, mind, emotions, and desires is also connected to the outward soul, mind, emotions, and desires. And you were completely, wholly made of darkness. That's where you were before you were saved. You were spirit, soul, and body. I won't say you were spirit. You had a spirit. You had a spirit, a soul, and a body completely dark, of darkness. And then you got born again. Now, when I say completely of darkness before you were saved, you still had an inward body that was inside of your outward body. Can we agree with that? And also your spiritual, your inner man, your inner body's man of intellect, emotions, and desires, the soul, was connected to the outward soul, what we call mind, emotions, and desires. They were connected cell for cell in completely dark. You were wholly in darkness, a species of darkness, inner man and outward man. And then when you got born again, the inner man, the new nature came to life. That's the new nature. We call that spirit, but it means new nature. You got a new nature. But also it says here in Ephesians 4, verse 24, and that you put on the new man. This is the inner man. This is the inner body. The inner body is your spiritual fingers and toes, but also your spiritual part of your soul, mind, emotions, and desires. Someone who has their spouse passes away, and they get a call from the mortician, ma'am, I'm really sorry, I have some bad news for you. Yeah, bad news. Well, what's worse than my husband passing? Well, I'm doing the autopsy here, and I notice his brain is still in his head. And I really, really am sad to inform you that he's in heaven, but he's brainless. He's kind of in the corner. I think they just stick him in the corner, and he just stands there going, because his brain is here. And on top of that, I hate to tell you this, man, but his hands are here as well. So I don't know how he's going to worship God with holy hands in heaven when his hands are here on this earth. See, that sounds silly to you because you understand what I'm saying, but I'm trying to help us to word it the right way. That your inner body was connected wholly to your outward body so much that they were called one, a body. Your inner body holds the soul of the inner body called mind, emotions, and desires. While your outward body contains the outward part of your soul, which is mind, emotions, and desires. Before you were saved, they clicked together because they were equally full of darkness. But then when you got born again, you received a new nature. That new nature was quickened. It went from darkness to light. That when you accepted Jesus, I used to think I had a little Jesus running around in me, you know, in my heart. And my heart was like an apartment and he lived in my heart. But no, I received a new nature. The new nature, we use the word spirit, a new spirit, but that word spirit means new nature in that context. You received a new nature. You only have one nature, and that's what tells you where you're going, heaven or hell. When you die, if you have a nature of light, you're going to heaven. But if you have a nature of darkness, you're going to hell. So your nature went from darkness to life. It was quickened. It was made new. But also it says here that also your new inner man became new. The inner body became new. It became light from darkness. It was quickened. That word create here. And you put on, verse 24, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is your inner body. Your inner body was created. That word created, according to Pastor Jim, Dr. Jim, I'll say, was taking something that was already there and creating it new. This was your inner body. It was quickened like your new nature was. So now your new nature brought to life your inner body. That's why now God can sit with you and talk to you and speak spiritual things, spirit to spirit. Because your natural man does not have an idea of what God is saying when he talks to you. Because your natural man is from the species of the human race. It can never understand God. The best you can do with your outward body, your outward soul, is to make it bow its knee to the truth that God builds in your inner man. Say amen if you're still with me. So when we say you are a spirit, that's not quite correct. You have a spirit. You have a soul. The imagery is that I'm taking my natural man of the human race, of a species of darkness, and trying to make it understand language of light and love. I'm trying to take my emotions, my chemically based emotions, and I'm trying to make it love like Jesus' love. I'm trying to make it have peace like Jesus' peace. But that's like asking a dog to fly. It's of a different species. So when it says putting on the new man, that is implying that I take my new man, my inner body, my spiritual part of my soul, mind, emotions, and intellect. How many know you have two sources of intellect now that you're born again? You have two sources of emotions now that you're born again. That's why you hear, I remember when the Lord told us to go full-time in a sense and not preach and not work, and I had these crazy emotions, and like I would have horrible fear of failure. But yet I felt peace on the inside, but have crazy emotions of fear on the outside. And thank God that I refused to disobey what God told me, no matter how crazy my emotions got. How could I have fear and peace at the same time? Because I was experiencing my inner man, the emotions of my inner man, the emotions of my inner soul, spiritual part of my soul, being life and peace. My inner man said, God is my Father. He says he's going to provide for me. My outer man said, no, he won't. What good are we? We're no good. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. See, that's the outward soul. So we're not trying to take our soul, mind, emotions, and desires, and make it be understand God. When you pray in tongues, he's not talking knowledge to your natural brain. But he's talking not knowledge to your spiritual brain. Because now that you are born again, your spiritual man is of the same species as God. That you are his child, you can now understand him. When we first got our one little dog, Maddie, our first dog, before we had kids, our friends would say, you need to get kids, because we'd talk about Maddie like she was our child. And Maddie loved me. She thought she was my daughter. And at the time, I hate to admit that I loved her like that. And we loved her. Now, I could sit there and teach Maddie all day long. Maddie, I'm going to teach you how to be my daughter. Maddie, little girls, they don't chase cats up trees. So I need you to, if you're going to be my daughter, Maddie, and Maddie wanted to be my daughter, then you got to stop chasing cats up trees. Okay? You understand? Yeah, okay. So we got agreement. Yeah. Little girls, Maddie, they don't bark at the mailman nonstop. So I want to ask you to quit barking. If you want to be my daughter, quit barking, okay? Okay. Maddie, little girls don't run around sniffing other little girls' rear ends. So you need to stop that, okay? Okay. And then the first time she's outside and a cat goes running by, she says, don't chase the cat. Don't chase the cat. Don't chase the cat. But something was working in her called her nature, saying, chase the cat, chase the cat, chase the cat. And finally, off she go chasing the cat. It was impossible for her to be my daughter because we were of a different species. As much as we love our pets, some of us like they're our children, they're really not our children. I remember we were visiting Christy's family and we took Maddie up with us and Elijah was born. That was our Christy's nephew. And here's Christy holding this little baby in her lap and Maddie, our dog, got jealous. Like, what are you doing with my mom? Maddie jumped on the couch to go bump off the kid to say, that's my mom. And Christy pushed Maddie off the baby, like, get off. And Maddie looked up and she tried it again and Christy pushed her off. Maddie, get out of here. This is baby time, you know, new nephew time. And Maddie, I'll never forget, jumped on the couch, jumped behind Christy on the top of the couch and walked past Christy's head with her head turned the opposite way to show she was disappointed. And walked past Christy's head with her head turned the other way, looking the other way, showing her disgust of what was going on. And I made an announcement. I said, I have an announcement to make to the, it's a horrible day in the Taylor family today. Because Maddie, the dog, has just discovered that she's a dog and she's not family. She's not our child. And she'll always remember that the rest of her life, that she's a dog. And I said, this is a horrible day in the Taylor home. And Maddie, our dog, discovered that she was a dog. Now, one of the confusing words that we have that can feed into the idea that I'm a spirit, soul, and body comes from Romans chapter 8. And it says here, it uses the word adoption. Romans 8, we'll start here in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And then I'm going to read out of the King James. I do that so that you can't say, well, he's getting that revelation out of the New King James. That's why it's so, he's getting so out there. Romans 8, but actually in this verse, the King James says it best. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So that means waiting for the adoption to be complete. The adoption isn't complete until we receive our new body, our new outward body. So when you see outward body, I want you to understand when he's saying outward body, he means the outward man, the old man, the outward body, but also the outward soul, mind, emotions, and desires. Because it wasn't rescued at your salvation. The adoption isn't complete. Now, why the adoption word is used is because God doesn't create people. He finds us in the human race. So he found you in one species. And the amazing miracle of salvation is that he found you in a species of darkness. Let's say a dog. And I don't mind using the dog just because the Jews call the Gentiles dogs for a reason. That's how different the human race is from God the Father. When Adam asked God to forgive him after he sinned, he said, please forgive me. And God forgave him. But it wasn't a question of forgiving. Now Adam is a different species. He's now a child of darkness that was a child of light. So now he's a different species. God had to deal with him with as a different species as what he was created the first time. So you were a species of darkness, completely dark. And then you are in an adoption process, but you are not adopted. I'll say it again. You are in an adoption process because he couldn't create you. He had to find you in the human race. But you're not adopted. You are birthed of God. Well, can you explain that to me? Well, I'm trying to, if you just listen. The adoption process isn't complete until you receive the new outward body. Until then, you have to suffer against it because it was left in darkness. The outward body and the outward soul. When I first started to get this revelation, I preached it as, you have two souls. And I got emails and letters like, what do you mean we have two souls? God's trying to rescue our soul. Well, they confuse the word soul for the word soul, and I had to explain it to them. But really, you have one soul that's connected to both realms. But the moment you die, the silver cord is clipped, and the natural soul is left on the earth, while the spiritual soul, then you'll have two souls. For right now, you have one that touches both realms, the natural and the spiritual. So the adoption process is not, you're not adopted, you're born. If I took a family, I saw an article where the tallest family in the world is 6'8". That's the average, boys and girls, men and women, 6'8". That's the average. So you know in their house, everything's, the counters are built taller, the doors are bigger, the roof's higher, because they're 6'8". Let's say a family of 6'8" people traveled to Africa and found the tribe of 4'6" people. And they said, we're going to adopt two of these children to make them our own. We're going to give you our name, and we're going to adopt you into our family. Now, I have two adopted sisters, older sisters, and they are my sisters. Let's be clear. If you say they're not, I'll probably punch you out. They're my sisters. We love them. They're fully my sisters. But they're adopted into our family. Now, if they went to go see a doctor and the doctor said, well, please write down the family history of sickness in your family. And they went ahead and wrote down the family history of my mom and my dad's, which they have the same last name. They're my sister. They're legally my sister. And then they put that paper in front of the doctor and said, here's the history of my adopted parents. What would that doctor do with that? He'd say, thank you for that. Rip it up. Say, this does not help me because you don't look like your mom. You don't have her nose. You don't have her height. You don't have her color. You're different, even though you are her daughter. See, many Christians think that's how they are with God, that they've been adopted and given his name and given the title and made an heir, but they're still adopted. That's not the truth. You were born of God. You have his DNA in your inner man, but your outward man was left on you, which is from your first birth. Your outer intellect is from the natural world. It's of a different species than your inner man. How different as light is from darkness? So many Christians approach God like adopted children. They won't say that, but that's how they talk. You can hear when they talk. I have a covenant. Well, that's adoptive language. If you ever say, I have a covenant, it's because you think you're adopted. Even if you say, no, I'm born again, you think you're adopted. Because my kid has never said, I have the paperwork that you're my father. I don't have to take my daughter, Ava, and prove to you that she's my daughter. I don't have to do that. You can see it. Our DNA is in her. You are born again. Nicodemus understood that, because when Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again, he said, whoa, 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 how is that even possible? How is a man to go back into his mother's womb? How is it possible to be born again? Being born again isn't about just getting the name of God stamped on your passport. Being born again means you are birthed of God. You received a new nature, and your inner man also came to life. So that's what allows you, the moment you're saved, for God to come and sit down with you and pray through you the perfect will of God, pray through you and instruct you and teach you revelation and truth. See, when you hear about the renewing of the mind, see, if you think body, soul, and spirit, you think you're trying to take your natural thinking and make it understand the truths of God. But really, the renewing of the mind is in your inner man. Your inner man, your inner man's soul, mind, and emotions used to be full of darkness. You were completely of darkness. But now you're not completely of darkness. Now you are inwardly of light while you're wearing a body of darkness, outward man of darkness. And so when you pray in tongues, all the truth of God goes into the intellect of your spiritual mind. Your spiritual mind is so smart, it can understand the truth of God. Remember Pastor Dave's story of the guy from Taxi? You know, that God had to speak to the Old Testament saints in slow language. You remember the guy on Taxi? He was a druggie, and he's taking the test and his driver's license, and he looks back at all his friends and says, "What does the yellow sign mean?" And they said, "Slow down." "What does the yellow sign mean?" Because he was a druggie, so he was a little bit, you know, lost in his thinking. "Slow down. What does the yellow sign mean?" And Pastor Dave said, "Well, that's how God had to teach us before we were saved, because it was like me teaching my dog." See, after Adam sinned, he went from lightness to dark completely. Did he love God? Yes. But the problem wasn't if he loved God or if God loved Adam. The problem was now we are two different species. So God's plan of redemption is to bring us back to a family, a being of his species of light. Well, the process of being saved isn't a snap your fingers, I went up and got Jesus, and now I'm complete in him, so I'm completely light, hallelujah. I can love you the same way God loves you. Some poor guy gets saved, he said, now you need to love your neighbor like Jesus. And they fall short. Why? Because the love of Jesus doesn't automatically come in you. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace. I'll just stop there. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, this word Spirit means not the Holy Spirit. And this word Spirit does not mean your inner man. The fruit of the Spirit is the new nature. So the moment you're saved, your nature was quickened from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness. You have that nature in you. That nature is the seed of Jesus in you. But it's a seed form. So the love of Jesus isn't automatic. It has to grow out of the nature into where? See, your outward man cannot ever love like Jesus because it's not the same species as Jesus. So the outward man can't contain the love of God. Only your inner man can, because your inner man was brought to life in true righteousness and holiness. So now you have an inner man, a spiritual soul, mind, emotions, that can actually contain the love of Jesus. But it's not automatic. It must grow first. And once it grows, you can put it on over your outward man. How many know that you don't automatically know the Bible once you're saved? That God downloaded the Bible, New King James Version, once you were saved. It's like, man, God, why do you download the King James Version? I like the New King James Version. When we get to heaven, God's going to speak in King James, I'm sure. How are you, God? Don't you mean how art thou? Get out. You don't belong here. But see, he didn't download the Bible when you were saved. So why are we renewing? When it says renew the mind, it's not talking about taking the natural mind and making it understand God, because it cannot. Your natural intellect can never understand, could never, and can never understand God. That's why he's replacing it with a new outward body. So when the renewing of the mind is taking spiritual truths, your spiritual mind was full of knowledge, and then you got born again. And it went from darkness to light, meaning he had to take your inner body and quicken it. He didn't just make a new inner body. He had to quicken it. That meant all the darkness that was in there disappeared. So now it is like an infant in understanding. That's why you hear Peter say newborn babes in Hebrews, like newborn babes, like children. In 1 John, children, because he's not trying to belittle you. He's saying when you're born again, you know nothing of God. You don't have his love. You know nothing. All the knowledge you contain when you're saved, before you're saved, is of this earth. All the love that you have experienced before you were saved is of this earth of darkness. But once you're saved, you now become a species, are born a species of light, of righteousness. But you're in a fight because your vessel, the outward body, was not brought to life. The outward desires and emotions, that's your soul. The outward soul was left in darkness, but the inward part of your soul was brought to life. Now you have a battle. That's why you are torn. One day you're excited about changing the world. The next day you think you're just a big failure. And the next day you're excited, and the next day you're a failure, because your outward man is trying to lead your life. Your outward man will dress in perfectly religious robes and follow you to church, but it won't let you kill it. So much of our church world today, even the spiritual experiences that people are having, is sold to the outward man, trying to force God to relate to people through their outward emotions, their outward intellect, their outward man. And the church is not growing up. They're seeking church and God to minister to them. I need someone to preach me excited. I need music that gets me emotionally happy. I need a service where they prophesy to me and I feel great. They want to be ministered to, where being a child of God means you grow up. We have people wanting to be treated like unsaved people. Come and rescue me. Come and love on me. Come and minister to me. You need to look at it like family. If you ever have kids, you understand family's different than, it's not always sweet pancakes every morning. Sometimes it's a showdown. You're not getting your way. You're going to do your chores. You're going to grow up. You're going to pass your tests. You're going to do your homework. Ever had parents like that? What, they didn't just minister to you? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You can take third grade again. I did. I took third grade. It was the best 4 years of my life. Yeah. So you can take third grade again or do it again. It's great. I love you. Oh, you're the best parent ever. No, they probably put you in jail. So much of the church is trying to force God a relationship where they come and just minister. I want to be ministered to. They seek the anointings. And I understand that, but if we're not careful as preachers, we will give in to that, to make people like us, to make people want to follow us, rather than do what God says to do. And sometimes God will make the church be mature. I've watched it. I watched Hans break off in prophecy and minister to someone. I watched Gary teach. We watched Pastor Dave do it all the time, where we would just sit there. Oh, another message on tongues. all the conferences in Brazil. We would do 3 or 4 conferences a year in Brazil. I think it was 3, and all, you know, 5 days, 8 to 10 services. And I started to think after a few years, who else is left to pray in tongues? There's a preacher conference, and he would go off and minister about praying in tongues, and I would sit there bored. I know it doesn't sound spiritual, but I've seen this show before. And see, God was expecting me to be a grown-up. That service wasn't about me. I was there to serve the people, not to receive. I learned by watching, yes, but God was trying to rescue a person or a group of people that were immature and needed to learn, know what I already knew. So what did he want me to do? Walk out and say, I'm not coming back to this place. No, to be supportive. He expected me to be the grown-up. Don't stay immature trying to force God to answer your immaturity all the time. He'll do it for a while. He'll do it till you know better. And once you know better, then he'll stop doing it. He'll stop doing it. I'm preaching me down. I'm supposed to be preaching this. The fruit of the Spirit. So your new nature is just the nature. See, people get confused the new nature with the inner man. Because they say, I used to say that I'm maturing my new nature by praying in tongues. But the new nature is full and complete. It never grows. It doesn't mature. I'm actually maturing into the new nature. I'm allowing the nature to teach me who I am. So the new nature is only a nature. It tells you how to be a child of God. It doesn't tell you how not to be a child of God. So if you feel convicted, it's not because the new nature is looking at your life going, ooh, yeah, you need to stop that. Ooh, you need it. Someone said, yeah, I went and I had coffee and I felt convicted because my new nature was convicting me about drinking coffee. Well, that's not the new nature. Because your nature is the same as my nature. So my nature won't convict me of something that's not convicting you. Because for you, maybe coffee is a sin, but coffee is not a sin for me. So the Holy Spirit may come to you and say, don't drink coffee. That's an instruction by the Holy Spirit, not by the new nature. But if we can throw any kind of fornication, your nature will say, your nature doesn't look for sin and say, ooh, don't do that. Your nature says, what are you doing? That's not who we are. That's what conviction is. That's the new nature. It's complete. So when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, teaches you, he's not teaching your new nature. Your new nature doesn't have eyes or ears or a brain. It's a nature. It's a nature of God, and it will convict you and teach you how to be a child of God. But it cannot give you direction. When the love of God grows out of the new nature, where does it go? Because the carnal man can never love like Jesus loved. It goes into your inner man. When the Holy Spirit teaches you the deep secrets of God, where does that go? See, if you think it's in your natural mind, your natural intellect, then what happens when you die and your brain's here on this earth? Where does all that information go? I guess everything the Lord taught me until I died is gone. I have to relearn it all. No, your inner man is made of the species of God. That's why you can learn the truth of God. So it may seem like a little thing, but to me it's a big detail because it either implies that you're adopted or you're born of God. If someone took the 6'8" family, went out to eat with their adopted 4'6" children, and they got the table and they had to get special high chairs for their kids, and their kids are 18, but they have to have extra high chairs because they're all 6'8". Someone might say, are they adopted?
Yeah.
No, they're my daughter. Don't you dare talk like that. That's my daughter. No, I'm pretty sure they're adopted. Yeah, they're your daughter, but they're not made of the same DNA that you are. When you guys, at Thanksgiving, you play basketball, they're always the last ones picked in the family. the family game. Not because you don't love them, but because they're just short. If you played hide and seek, you'd want them on your team. But see, you're not adopted. You're born of God. But you're left with an outward body that is waiting to be replaced with a new outward body. So in the end, God's going to give you a new outward body made of is called the eternal body. It's made of a material that is supernatural, but it'll be flesh like the flesh you're wearing, but it's made of a different material. It won't age. It won't desire sin. So you receive a new outward soul and body that will click onto your inward body, because all of you will be quickened and brought to life. That's the miracle of salvation. He found you in a species. I like to use the worm species. He found you in a worm family, and you were of the earth. And he said, I'm making you my child, and took you. He took you out of the worm in the end, and he'll put you in an eagle. He didn't just say, what's your name? Seneca, C-N. Okay, Seneca. And then now I'm going to write it on the egg, and then I'm just going to squish you, and now I have a little chick, an eagle chick called Seneca. No, he took you out of one species, and in the end, you'll be in a completely different, impossible species. It's impossible, but God did it, and you'll be completely light. There'll be nothing left of Adam, of your first birth in you, except for you. That's the miracle of salvation. In the end, he will make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, your soul, and your body will be completely light. But until that moment of the trumpet, you have to wrestle with the vessel that wasn't fixed yet, called the outward man. And when you spend time praying in tongues or in your Bible as a believer, the renewing is the knowledge of your inner man, rebuilding the knowledge, but this time from light, because your inner man is made of light. And so it looks like I prayed in tongues and I think differently. Praise God, I'm renewing my soul. No, that's not what happened. From a distance, yes, you are thinking differently, praise God, but give it the miracle that it is. You thought like darkness, but you spent time in the light with the Holy Spirit, and the inner man built up the knowledge of light in you so much that truth built up so much, that emotional love built up so much that it knocked over on the outward man, the outward soul, the outward intellect, and said, hey, you're wrong. And then you killed the thought of the natural man. You killed and mortified the emotion of the natural man, the fake love of the natural man, the fake love of darkness, the fake thought of darkness. You killed it. You mortified it with the thought of the new man saying, I'm superior. So you can't just mortify until you renew first the inner man. You can't just love like Jesus. Welcome to church. You got saved today. Now I want you to love like Jesus loves. You can't, because the love of Jesus is just in seed form. It's got to grow up. Well, how can I grow it up? Well, pray in tongues. Worship is great for that. Spending time in the love of God. Reading your Bible. All the things we teach. Because once it grows up, that's the transformation. That I'm building up the inner man and becoming and living out of the inner man instead of the outward man. You are not a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body at this moment. You have a nature of light, but you have an inward soul, mind, will, and emotions, and an outward soul, mind, will, and emotions that are connected. One is light, one is dark. You have an inner body and an outward body that are connected. And in the end, when the trumpet sounds, God will make sure that all the suffering that you've gone through and fighting with your outward body, it won't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed when you receive that new eternal body, because that's when the adoption process is complete. You're not adopted. You're in an adoption process. You're birthed of God. You are born of God. You can say, not in your outward body, but in your inner man, I have the DNA of Jesus in me because he birthed me. I look just like him. That's why it says when we see him, we will be just like him because you were birthed in his nature. I hope I'm making sense. You're not adopted. You're born of God. You're in the process. And just because you're wrestling with sin, wrestling with discouragement, wrestling with wrong thinking, that's because you're wearing an outward body. He couldn't give you a new outward body yet, but he will when the trumpet sounds. Until then, we can transform and live like we have the new outward body before we ever do. That's why we pray and seek God. I'm going to close there.